For years now, chemist and industrial hygienist Manona Russell, the founder and president of Arts, Crafts, and Theater Safety, has been visiting us to talk about the dangers of household chemicals, artist materials, toxic mold, and other environmental health hazards. But she also wears another hat, health and safety officer for Local 829 of IATSE, the Union of Theatrical and Stage Workers, and she has written the Health and Safety Guide for Film, TV, and Theater, published by Allworth Press. So today we have invited her to talk about the dangers lurking in the seemingly safe world of entertainment and theater. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Now, how did you get involved with health and safety issues in the performing arts? I seem to remember in the past you talked about having been a performer at one point in your life.
Well, yes. I was a prop at age one. My parents were vaudeville people.
You grew up in vaudeville?
Yeah.
And then vaudeville died, so what happened?
Well, the vaudevillians didn't die. So they kept on performing. So we worked all the time, but we just didn't work all of the big theater circuits anymore. But we booked out of Chicago, and we worked all continually. By age three, I had a union card. So,
did you see a lot of accidents or unsafe conditions in
these
places?
Yeah, I actually saw people die, yeah.
So vaudeville was a dangerous trade?
Just like theater is today.
And you said also that there were other dangers. You weren't sure what name to give people when they ask your name.
Well, that's true. In fact, when I went to school, I didn't know what my name was.
Baby Manona?
Well, no, I was working as Jean Berger, which had nothing to do with anything. But also, I was whatever nationality the town was. If we were in an Irish town, I had an Irish town. I knew which spot I was going to get called out on. I responded to anything and still do.
When you came to New York City, were you still working as a performer?
Well, actually, what I wanted to do was to teach, but I didn't know anybody, so I picked up the trade papers, and fortunately, I got an off-Broadway lead part the first day I was here.
Well, how did that lead to your becoming the health and safety officer for Local 829 of the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees?
Because those are my people. Mm-hmm. I know what they, you know. I know what they need. Plus, I was consulting for a number of the unions. Off and on special effects, on the theater safety, on paints and chemicals that were used in scene painting and so on. So this was just a natural to end up working for them.
Well, I guess the question is, how did you go from being a performer to suddenly knowing all about those chemicals and all the other dangers?
Well, my parents were wonderful on stage, but off stage, not so good. So I left home at 17, forged their signatures on an application for the University of Wisconsin, and thought I'd be a doctor, and actually ended up getting somebody to back me for medical school. But back then, they just didn't take many women. They gave us such a hard time, I gave them the sign of the finger and left. And then I thought I'll get a degree in chemistry, so I got a degree in chemistry. Couldn't work in industry because I was a member of the NAACP and had participated in marches, so I couldn't get security clearance. So I thought, well, I'll take my chemistry background, make a living of it, and put myself through art school. Surely there'll be no discrimination there. That was the worst discrimination of all.
You haven't heard about the problems that women in the arts face?
Well, you know, I had to sit there and listen that there are no significant women painters because our brains are defective. And I had to fight even to get into studio art. They said I had to be a teacher.
Well, you were just born too early, Manona. It's a lot better for women artists today.
Yeah, right.
But when we talk about the health and safety in TV and theater, what probably comes to most people's minds first is the Broadway production of Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, which was plagued by accidents during its previews in the fall of 2010. Can you tell us, can you remind us what happened there?
Well, yes. You know, there is no OSHA regulation that applies directly to flying a person over the audience and landing them on the stage on a thin cable. But OSHA has a rule that's called the General Duty Clause that says if it's a recognized hazard, you have to fix it whether there's a regulation or not. And hitting the ground at a rapid rate of speed is a recognized hazard.
But Peter Pan has been performed for 50, 60 years with people flying around, and I don't remember Mary Martin ever breaking any vertebrae.
Oh, there's been all kinds of accidents, even deaths with flying people. Oh, that's a really common hazard. There was a death of a young lady, I think, about 2-3 years ago in one of these big church programs. I mean, those are really big productions some of those churches have. And she was being raised up as an angel, and at 25 feet, her harness slipped, and she was killed right in front of the audience. So, I mean, this happens all the time.
Well, you would think with a major Broadway show that you wouldn't have those kinds of problems, but the actor Christopher Tierney fell 30 feet into the orchestra pit, suffered fractured skull, fractured shoulder blade, 4 broken ribs, 3 broken vertebra. Was that the most serious injury?
Well, at that production, yes.
That was because the safety harness was fastened improperly?
Well, they made them make some changes to the equipment. But for me, the most exciting thing is they also cited them under the guarding regulations, which says you cannot have a fall hazard, even at the front lip of a stage, unless you have a written program to deal with that and that you guard it if people are just walking by and so on.
And people have fallen off the stage. Dancers fall off the stage.
All the time.
Clumsiness or is that just poorly designed stages?
And that's one of our problems as audience members. We have to know that if you have a big, burly construction worker who's fully trained, it's illegal to put him next to a 6-foot fall unless he's in harness or that fall is guarded. Because human beings are fallible. All it takes is a little moment of something else happening. And you mean to tell me that people expect that you can take a child or an elderly actor, put him in front of an orchestra pit with a 30-foot fall, put bright lights in his eyes, blow smoke in his face, go to black and tell him to exit? Is that crazy? So, you know, we have to think differently about it.
Well, in the case of Spider-Man, Christopher Tierney, interestingly, returned to the production after he recovered. But the lead actress, Natalie Mendoza, quit the production after she suffered a concussion. Another actor, Kevin Aubin, suffered 2 broken wrists. I'm assuming there were other injuries as well. What was it about that production that caused so many accidents? Don't they know today? I mean, they must have known this was going to be a dangerous show.
Well, here's the thing. Entertainment has become so sexy. Now, when I was a vaudeville performer, you didn't invite vaudeville performers home for dinner. I mean, they were interesting to go watch, but they were low class. They were trash. You know, you had to really fight my way up. Now it's the thing. Everybody wants to be in show business. So here all of a sudden you have all of these people who will just take risks. They will do whatever they are told. They won't even call the union office when there are dangers that they really should be reporting because they want to be in the business. And it's a shame.
Didn't the New York State Department of Labor send a team of safety inspectors to the theater?
Absolutely.
What did they find?
Well, they found that they needed to make changes, and they had them do that.
So the production was shut down in order to correct safety violations?
Yes, it was.
What about fines?
I don't remember now whether. I know they fined them originally, but, you know, OSHA fines are chump change. I mean, I think there was a fine, but they're very, very small.
But I wonder whether this is not all that uncommon, as you suggest, but because it was such a high-profile show, got a lot more attention.
That's why I was so actually, you know, sort of not happy, but pleased in the sense that it did bring the issue more to the fore. But this has been going on for years. The first citations were in 1999 by Cal OSHA. And I did expert witness on a fall at the Atlanta, it was the Fox Theater in Atlanta, on 2007. So, I mean, these have been going on.
That was the ballerina who fell off?
Yeah.
She was 17 years old, and she fell into the orchestra pit sustaining spinal injuries.
Yes, but you see, she was in the Nutcracker. And she was a volunteer, a high school student. OSHA can't see her, can't protect her. So what the inspector did was buy a ticket and sit in the show and mark down every time a dancer came within 6 feet of the fall hazard and then cited them and forced them to put in their dance book a program to address these hazards.
But as you point out, the fines are a few $1,000s. We're talking about, in the case of Spider-Man, a $65 million production.
Yes, so, and that's why it's chump change. It's anyone who thinks that OSHA is going to protect people, you know, in terms of the fines, it's not happening. But the publicity, of course, you know, I'm not so sure because some people, I think, go to the show to see somebody fall.
Well, you mentioned the ballerinas. Are performers only protected if they're paid?
Yes. OSHA can't see people who are volunteers or the general public. Audience members can die in front of an inspector. It doesn't matter because he has no jurisdiction.
My guest is Manona Russell, whose latest book, her ninth book, is called Health and Safety Guide for Film, TV, and Theater. It's published by Allworth Press. We'll continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Manona Russell, whose latest book, this is your ninth book, wow.
That was the eighth. The ninth was Pick Your Poison.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm jumping ahead. This one, her eighth book is called The Health and Safety Guide for Film, TV, and Theater. Manona is not only the president of Arts, Crafts, and Theater Safety, but also the health and safety officer for Local 829 of IATSE, the Union of Theatrical and Stage Workers. Now, we've heard about dangerous things happening on film sets, TV sets as well. Do they tend to be similar?
Exactly the same. Because it doesn't really matter whether you're working in a theater or whether you are working in an arena or whether you're working in a built movie set. You're going to have platforms and elevations and ramps and stairs and all kinds of issues with fall protection. You're going to have special effects. You're going to have all the same kinds of problems.
Well, you don't think of opera as being dangerous, but didn't a singer fall 8 feet from a set?
Yes, she fell into a pit, and right before that, a year or so before that, a super fell into the pit right during the opening of War and Peace in front of the full audience. So, I mean, these things are happening.
Well, in the case of a more recent accident at the Met during the Ring cycle, it was the set that was the problem. Deborah Voight had to walk on a rather scary, precarious set. So is part of the problem that sets are designed for temporary use? It would be different it's different when you're building a house to last for centuries?
Right. There's no building inspector. You know, you have designers and you have really smart people in the business, but things can go wrong when you don't have, you know, actual engineers involved all the way through. So things do happen. And plus there's this artistic idea that if it has to look a certain way, that can be a problem. The very first citations were on a David Hockney set for the San Francisco Opera. And there was a place you could fall 9 feet on this set, and they were running choristers up there in fog and half light. So
no guardrails.
No guardrails. And, I mean, we're talking, you know, 300-pound women. You really need to. So these kinds of things should be thought about.
And then at SeaWorld, a whale trainer died. How did that happen?
Well, that's an issue with whether or not it's safe to plop somebody in with a killer whale who was already killed twice. But the interesting issue for me was they also got him on a guarding issue, which is not really any more contested. And that was that these people were carrying 60 pounds of fish up stairs and ramps where they could fall, you know, 10, 15 feet with no guardrail.
But is part of the problem there that it's something between an aquarium and a theater? So the rules to each don't necessarily apply?
There is no rules for theater. There are rules for guarding. Your theater needs to comply with the rules for guarding.
And then there's just outdoor theater. For example, the Indiana State Fair,
yes.
A stage collapsed because of high winds.
Yes. And there's a whole new standard being written. I mean, the old standard for outdoor platforms and overhead protections like that are being rewritten now.
Well, I would imagine performing outdoors where it can rain, where there are winds that might very well pull a live wire from where it's attached could be scary.
But and there, you know, strangely enough, there are OSHA rules for almost everything. It's quite amazing that there is usually something applicable. And then, as I say, if there's nothing, if it's a recognized hazard, it'll come under the general duty clause. So you really have to fix these things.
Wasn't Curtis Mayfield hit by a live wire?
Yes. Yes. You see, you cannot take lifts or scaffolds or anything within a certain distance of any kind of power lines. And very often they are violating those kinds of rules and get into trouble.
But also on a TV show, you'd imagine it couldn't be a problem, like America's Got Talent. You had a stagehand falling 12 feet into a pit.
That's right.
So it's not, we're not just talking about the performers. We're also talking about the people who work backstage.
Yes, the president of Local One here in New York is a quadriplegic from Radio City Music Hall fall.
Wow. Well, I once moved sets at the Royal Court in London, and then I had myself moved up to the flies, not because of the danger, simply because the sets were incredibly heavy and I felt I shouldn't have to work that hard for the lousy amount of money they were paying me.
And 14 months after the one you mentioned, the same company was cited for a 30-foot fall at Caesar's Palace.
That was the Shania Twain show?
Shania Twain concert, yeah.
What happened there?
Same kind of thing off the front of the stage. He didn't even know. He doesn't even remember how it all happened. But he was walking with something, and the next thing he knew, he woke up in a hospital. He's really in bad shape.
Are the rules different for Broadway, off-Broadway, film, and TV productions?
No. Broadway rules are the same. And the problem is that the enforcement is different. If you go down south or you go certain states, you can get away with almost anything.
And then you say if it's in a church or a school or some other amateur production, the situation actually is more dangerous.
Yes, because now there's no union people, no professionals. And second of all, if they're not employed, they don't come under OSHA.
My guest is Manona Russell. We're talking about the dangers of working in theater, both on stage and backstage. Are most of the types of accidents in theater falls?
Oh, no. No, there's all kinds of things. You know, because every production has weird things. I mean, I was dealing with 1,500 pounds of stage blood that would go rancid because people were wading through it. And the production issues, I will not go into where this was. But, I mean, we have weird things in theater. We have lasers, you know. we throw stuff in the air.
Mm-hmm. And then guardrails and nets and all of that would spoil the effect.
Not at all. In fact, a pit net will actually help direct the eye of the audience up to the stage, especially when some of the pit nets, they put a light black scrim over it, so it'll help keep the music stand lights from interfering with the audience's vision.
Now, a lot of the theaters are kind of old. Are the new theaters being built with more safety precautions?
Oh, I wish I could say yes. A few are, but there's still the old theater designers who are saying, well, it was always done this way. And that's also an issue in the fly where you work, because there should not be any light poles, for instance, at 55 inches. They should be at 42 so that they can be a guardrail.
What about insurance? Have there been large settlements in any of these cases?
You betcha. And I can't talk about most of those. But yes, very big settlements.
A lot of people were stunned by Vic Morrow's death on the set of Twilight Zone. Did that spur any changes in the film industry?
Didn't make any changes. That's the same old, same old. And bothered me especially because I was a child performer, and those children were way past the hour they were supposed to be performing, and they were not protected properly.
We had a number of actors here from a Broadway show talking about the difficulties of working on a raked stage.
That's when you want to see the accident rate just skyrocket. Rake the stage.
And Norbert Leo Butz was here with Katie Holmes. And they, in his case, he said it's not just they were doing this comedy, Teresa Ribeck's comedy, Dead Accounts, but he has also been in a lot of musicals where he's done dancing on a rake stage.
There actually was a health department study of dancers, some rather large troops, And they compiled the statistics on flat stages and raked stages, and it was just a dramatic increase. I forgot the exact percentage, but something like 25-30% increase.
But the rake stage is there to give audiences
a better view.
A better view.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming it's a skill. You learn how to walk on a slight angle.
Absolutely.
It's like walking downhill and uphill all the time.
And don't have a drink before the performance.
What about smoke, fog, all those other pyrotechnics, other theater effects that seem to be getting more and more grand because people expect them after having seen similar things in movies?
You got 2 weeks, we'll talk, because, I mean, it's huge. There's about a dozen chemicals that are used, and some of them there's absolutely no data on what the hell they do in your lungs, but there they go. I mean, we're the lab
rats. You
can
smell the smoke
from your
lips in the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't know a lot about some of these chemicals, and yet they're safe. Absolutely right. You know, based on what?
So secondhand smoke can be a problem if you go into the theater?
Well, secondhand smoke, you know.
And people do smoke on stage as well, and I smell that too.
That is the one really glowing area. The wrong metaphor there, but these new fake cigarettes will work pretty well on stage, and they produce a really small amount of glycol mist, and I would sure as heck rather have people doing that on stage than real cigarettes.
Often a theater will have a sign posted at the entrance warning the audience that the production includes strobe lights and loud noises, fog, or smoke. Are there some people who might be injured by being in the audience?
Oh, absolutely. People with severe asthma. I mean, we now have ADA requirements that allow you to roll somebody with their life support system in their wheelchairs into an audience should they be breathing these things. And I did.
What about the strobe lights? What do they do?
That can provoke epileptic attacks. So I did expert witness on a woman who died at Tulsa Arena because she went into a rodeo performance, and they did not announce that they were doing pyrotechnics. And she was a severe asthmatic, and she was dead in an hour.
Mm. So this is dangerous for audiences as well as for the people involved in the production.
Absolutely.
Can we go back to the good old days of vaudeville when the worst thing that could happen is somebody was juggling a bowling pin and falling off the stage?
How about we hurl the asbestos snow on the stage, which was actually done? There was a product called, you know, permanent snow or something. I forgot the name of it. But it came in boxes, and you threw it on the stage. It was dangerous then. It's dangerous now.
How do you hear about these incidents? Do you monitor OSHA's activities?
You know, all I have to do is sit in my office because most of them come to me. You know, reporters will call or inspectors will call. Union people will call. I get calls all the time. So rarely do I have to chase any of this.
And your book, The Health and Safety Guide for Film, TV, and Theater. Is this aimed at theater professionals? I mean, what can they get out of it?
Well, it's actually a handbook. It's used as a college text all over the United States, including at the Yale School of Drama, because it goes through the OSHA regulations, the applicability of the various rules, how to comply, because, you see, the teachers come under OSHA, even if the students may not. And so there has to be an OSHA program in every school and every professional theater. So this is a good primer for all of that material.
Let's say there's a dangerous situation, but the performer has had a little too much to drink. Does the performer wind up being blamed for the problem?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to OSHA for this simple reason, that if you are the employer, you are supposed to be monitoring and checking and training your people, and somebody should have called that in right away and said, this guy doesn't belong on stage, and somebody should have stepped in and taken him off. So it is ultimately always the employer's problem.
So you've published this handbook with Allworth Press, and we've had all the publicity for Spider-Man and some other terrible disasters. Spider-Man, by the way, is still running.
No,
did they fix their problems?
Yeah.
So they have fixed them.
Oh, yeah. We haven't heard anybody go splat since.
And does that mean that we're going to be hearing a fewer incidents of that sort in the near future because everybody's learned their lesson?
No. Someone will come up with another bad idea. While we're sitting here, they're probably planning it.
Well, I hear that Julie Taymor has been blamed for all of the problems.
Well.
That was a joke. Sorry. Yes. Sorry, Julie. I mean, because there were probably so many people culpable in situations.
Well,
like this.
One of the culpable things, it's an attitude that goes all through theater, is the need to be more spectacular than the one previous. And sometimes that's a driving force for some of this.
Mignona Russell, she's the author of 9 books. One of them, the one we've been discussing, is The Health and Safety Guide for Film, TV, and Theater. It's published by Allworth Press. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Oh, it was always fun.